possibility. Now, I want to read a scripture here from Acts chapter 1, verse 7. And Jesus said unto them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." I want you to look at John chapter 1 and verse 12. John 1 verse 12. "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." I'm going to tell you a fantastic story about how I came in contact with these two words. I was in a place called Grove Place in Jamaica, working in an experimental farm where we experimented on both plants and animals. When I was pretty young and impatient, and I got tired of living anyhow. I just didn't like the way I saw people live, and I thought of having a long lifetime of living like how I saw some people live, and I thought the best thing for me to do was to die. So I prepared my own death and arranged that at 6 o'clock that evening I would create my own demise. While I was there thinking the thing over, I was pretty mad with somebody too. Something said to me, "Go outside." So I walked outside, and as I went towards the gate, I was going to touch the gate and turn right back and then do whatever deed I planned to do, for it was pretty near to 6 o'clock. I saw a woman sitting on a porch there. There was the gate straight before me, and this woman was there. And as I reached this point between the woman and the gate, like something said to me, "Go talk to her." I said, "Why should I talk to her?" You know, and I said, "Christians don't love anybody, you know. They are just selfish. So why should I go talk to her? She's just like all the others. Go talk to her." So I went and I talked to her. And I said to her, "You say you're a Christian, and look at the condition of the world. What are you doing about it?" She said, well, she could hardly answer me because I was hitting her with such hard questions. And I was telling her how she was selfish and everything, and the only reason why she was a Christian because things were good with her. As I kept on telling her this, she got hurt inside, and she started to weep. And the Lord told her to say to me, "Okay." She say, "I challenge you. Say you go into your room and tell Jesus that I say that if you ask him for salvation by his blood, he will save you." I said, "Okay, all right." And I rushed to my room, forgetting that I was going to the gate. And I knelt down before God and I said, "God, Mrs. So-and-so tell me to tell you that if you must save me." And I said, "If you can't save me, I don't want to live here anyhow. And if you are no God and you can't save, I might as well die anyhow." So I got up and I didn't remember to say, "By the blood of Jesus." So I went down back and said, "By the blood of Jesus." I got up back. I was dead serious. And I didn't feel anything. No breeze blow, no great noise, no trembling, no nothing. Then I noticed that, like, I was getting elated. I wanted to laugh. I said, "Well, this must be some kind of madness, then, because I don't have anything to laugh about, you know." And then this thing grew in me like something was swelling, and you know, I was getting happier and happier, you know, and I really wanted to laugh, and until there was a quickening in my body, and I wanted to jump. I just wanted to jump and cry out, you know, and I started to get frightened about this condition. But to, in order to stop the thing from breaking out on me, I began to hop around the room until I got a little calmer. Then the old devil came to me and said, "Boy, you got it now." I said, "Got what?" He said, "You're crazy." Yes, you've gone on until now. Something has given way. I said, "Well, you know, I have never been crazy before. So I'm probably, this is what people, how people feel when they are crazy." I was thinking whether it was a rather happy situation though. But so I said, "Well, let me see what to do now." Another voice came to me and said, "Give yourself a test." I said, "Okay, what would a madman do? I think you'd tear this place right up. So let me do the opposite of what a madman would do. And if I can do that, then I'm not crazy." So I began to tidy the room. And I put that room together, everything in its place, and looked back and said, "Well, this is not a crazy man's work." And as simple as that was, as soon as I accepted the fact that it was God, just a flood of joy came in, and the glory of God came down in that place on me. And I began to praise God and to pray and to read, and I made a promise to God that if He would keep me away from my sins, I named out 5 major sins that I did and participated in. I said, "If you would keep me away from this, then I know I'm saved. I know this is God. For the devil wouldn't keep me away from those." Amen. So after like a week or so, I found out that I was completely delivered. But something else happened. I told you I was going to tell you a very strange story. I said the next day, I said, "God..." No, first of all, I began to read the Bible. So I just broke the Bible open, and there standing right before me, it was, I think, Numbers 12. And it said that I speak to Moses face to face. I said, "Yes, isn't that so? God spoke to Moses. He spoke to Joshua. He didn't quote scriptures to these brothers. He spoke to them." I said, well, God, why don't you speak to me then?" I said, "Meet me this afternoon at 4. And I'll be off work at 4, you know, I had to rush off to work." So I rushed off to work, and all day I was just watching the clock, waiting for 4 o'clock. And so I rushed out about a minute before 4, rushed into my room and relaxed and sat down with my Bible. My mother gave me a Bible, by the way, and I never opened it, but it came in handy at this time. And so I opened the Bible, waiting on Jesus, because I've got so many questions to ask Him. I must stump Him, because I couldn't understand this Old Testament and this New Testament. What is the meaning? One is saying one thing and one is saying the other thing, especially Matthew chapter 5. Oh, that's no good. I couldn't understand it. How could any man do this? And so when He came in, I didn't know. I was looking at the door. I was facing the door, and suddenly there was a man behind me. It was 4 o'clock, and he was standing right behind me at my left shoulder, and he began to speak, and I'm telling you, all the fight drained out of me, all the desire to struggle and all the wanting to know, tell me, everything like that drained out of me. Perfect peace came over me. I mean, this is heaven. I was lifted into another realm, I'm sure. I heard Jesus behind me speaking, and he was so calm, and he was so precious that I didn't even desire to look back. And he began to show me the Bible, and he showed me the Old Testament, and he showed me the New Testament. And he said it's a spiritual book, and he showed me everything in old and new just so simple. I said, my, what a fool I was. Why didn't I see that? Why didn't I see that? And he went on and on and on. It would seem to me a very short time. And then I felt him slipping away. And I jumped up and said, Lord, tomorrow at 4. I got him pinned down for that appointment. And he was gone. And when I looked around, it was dark. The clock was saying 1 o'clock. I did not see the sun go down. Of course, my back was to the sun. Nevertheless, I didn't see the light fade. All I know is that he had spoken with me from 4 o'clock until 1 that night. And it just looked to me like it was a short time. Well, the next day, I prepared again, and I started preparing my questions this time. Surely, I'm going to hit him with all these questions. Then he came again, and the same thing happened again, and he began to answer everything in my mind, right down the line. And this thing continued. I didn't know better. Of course, I wasn't a church man. I didn't know that the Lord shouldn't come and talk to me. So he came and he talked to me. And it was so simple when I told the people, I met a brother and told him of this marvelous experience of Jesus. He said, oh no, don't do it again. That's not God. And I said, not God, that's the devil. God couldn't come and talk to you like that. And then I began to realize that when people said, the Lord said, and the Lord spoke to me, they didn't mean that the Lord came in a physical way and spoke to them. Well, I was reveling in this, and one day I opened the Bible, and I saw, if ye ask anything in my name, I'll do it. So I closed it back. I said, God, is this one of the mistakes in the Bible? You said if I ask anything in your name, you will do it for me. He said, it's not a mistake. It's just as it is. I said, okay, what am I going to ask for now? I couldn't find anything to ask for. I know that is strange. You know, somebody would ask for some money or something like that. But I couldn't find anything to ask for, so I said, okay, I'm going to rush out the street and see if I can find a sick person and just ask that they be healed. And then I'll know if that scripture is really right or it's just a mistake in the Bible. You see, all these people teaching in the seminaries that there are so many mistakes in the Bible, if they would only take one of the mistakes and go out and act upon it, they would find out it is not a mistake. And so this one was one of the mistakes that some people count. So I rushed out and I knocked at the first door. Is there anybody sick in here? He said, no. I knocked at the next door. Is there anybody sick here? They said, no, nobody's here sick, but so many doors down the street, there is a person who is sick. They gave me her name. I said, thank you very much. I rushed off to this place, knocked her. Is there somebody sick? Yes, she's very sick. Miss so-and-so is sick, and she has fever and all that. And they tell me all that was wrong with her. I was very happy. I said, well, all right, I've come to pray for her. I lay hands on that woman and prayed and said, Jesus, now you tell me to ask you for healing, and so I want this woman to be healed. So whatever I ask. And the woman jumped out of bed and said she's feeling better. Well, the devil said to me, oh, she's only doing that to facilitate you, you know. It's not true, you know. So I went to another place, and until I found another sick, and the same thing happened. And I said, thank you, Jesus. The Bible is true, after all. So just like a spike, this lady who told me about Jesus, she had a daughter, a little girl, and this little girl got a terrible sickness that the doctors have never cured, ever. And it was a stricture of her intestines, that a certain length of her intestines just stopped working, and that was it. The doctors tried, they sent her to New York, they did everything. No help. They said, okay, she must die. And they begged the parents just to let her go peacefully. Amen. Now, I went up there and saw everybody crying. So I said, sister, what's happening here? She told me the story. I said, then what about Jesus? She said, well, they have all prayed, and they sent to all the big preachers all over the United States, and they pray, and the child is dying now. Big blotches come out on her skin, and she's sinking off into a kind of coma. She's dying, and they start weeping. I said, well, let me pray for her. She said, oh, no. Said, everybody has already prayed, and all the big preachers have prayed, so you can't do anything about it. And the thing really hurt me. To know that she told me about Jesus, she just finished telling me about a Jesus that is all-powerful, will do anything I ask him, and then all of a sudden, it's her child, and she has given up, and the child must die. I said, well, if Jesus doesn't heal this child, I will stop eating, and I will also die. And I stopped eating that very moment, and I went back home, went back to my work. Well, the first day, the second day, the third day, I neither had anything to eat nor water, because I was determined that I was going to die if Jesus wasn't alive. And if I made a mistake and this Christianity was just a joke, then I should really die, because I don't want to live. So when I went, the third day I went back for my lunch, that's where I ate, the Lord told me, go eat your lunch. So I went up, I said, give me my lunch. She gave me, ate my lunch. I said, bring the child. She said, oh, it's just going to make it harder for us. I said, bring the child, Sister Renfrew. She brought the child, I lay hands on that child, because God told me, eat. That means the work is done. I lay hands on that child, and I went off to my work. I didn't want to see anything with my eyes, for I had already seen it in the Spirit, and I was very happy about what God had done. So I went praising God, jumped back into the office. At 3 o'clock, the phone rang, and now they were excited, because they saw with their natural eyes the manifestation of the Spirit. It is a shame. If God tells me it is all right, it is all right. I don't have to see. No, that's the truth. And this is the kind of way that we need to understand and behave towards God. The child was healed, and then a whole cycle of healing began. God began to manifest himself. So, one day I went to the Lord and said, well, Jesus, now that I'm saved, it's time for me to die. Because after all, if you're saved, then you must go to heaven. Why would you be saved unless it was heaven you saved for? So I said, well, God, you've got a lot of people who can preach here. I have about 300 souls now, and I'm ready to die. So God said, well... Afterwards I said, okay, one thing, if I can get the thing that Peter and John had, when they went to the gate beautiful and they said, silver and gold have I none, but the thing that I have I'm going to give you in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. If I can get that thing, I will stay. And Jesus said, all right. And immediately said, all right, I fell into a vision. Like a deep sleep came over me, and I was on my knees, and I just fell into a sleep. And I saw a long lane down there. And at the end of the lane, there was an explosion. And he said, that is the seventh. He was standing right here. Nearer up, there was another explosion. He said, that is the 14th. And then he said, and then, and he stepped off. And there was an explosion under my feet, and it set me flying. So I came out of this vision just gasping. My God, what's this? I mean, I ask for the thing that Peter and John have, and then you set a charge under me and blow me up. I couldn't understand the meaning. But I said, well, it's near enough to the seventh. Let me wait. On the seventh, I waited and waited all day. And in my carnal mind, I thought I was going to get maybe some money. Some great big thing was going to fall down on me. I get some money or something. All I could think of, I watched the post. I walked around. Nothing happened. About 8 o'clock at night, I said, well, you know, I might as well pray and go to bed. I knelt down to pray, and I was gone into another vision again. And here I was, Jesus was walking beside me over here, and I was walking with him through this beautiful garden. Flowers all over, they looked like wild flowers and most like daisies and things like that. And they, as we come to a patch of flowers, they all would bow before us. And as we went on, they would rise up and the others would bow. And this thing was going on and they were tinkling like bells, like beautiful music. Every time they bowed, there was a tinkling sound. And Jesus went to this step and he stepped up on the step and I was coming with him and he turned back and this. And I said, but Lord, he said, go back. And I just turned back. And as I turned back, I found myself back again in my room on my knees. But something was peculiar. I heard him still talking. So I looked around. I looked everywhere under the bed. Because I couldn't understand this thing. There was a man's voice talking in my room. I went into the hall, went into the kitchen. He wasn't there. Nobody at all. I was alone. And so I went back and said, my God, what is this? So he said, why don't you try to find where the voice is coming from? Then I remembered that when I was in the hall, the voice was as loud as when I was in the room. And when I was in the kitchen, it was as loud. And so I realized the voice was on me. So I opened my shirt. Looked down, there was nothing, no sign of anything, but this voice was speaking. I said, wait, let me listen what it's saying. And it was talking Greek as far as I'm concerned. It was some long words, and I didn't know what he was saying. Well, God came to me and said, open your mouth and pray aloud. And I said, okay, pray aloud. I am here alone and I must pray aloud, but I'll obey. Open my mouth to say, our Father. And I said, wait, what's going on? No, stop. Try again. And I'm going to say, our Father. Oh, and it went off again. And I could not get the perfect control of my tongue. I could think all right. I think our Father, and I say something else. But what I was seeing was the thing that was in me. And I discovered that the Jesus I was talking to had come inside of me. Now that was a peculiar and weird feeling. I could not understand it. I was frightened. That's the whole truth. I said, my God, what is this? And I saw from the bed rising up a scroll. I began to look, and the scroll came. came up to my eye and began to turn. And when it turned, I saw 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And it began to say, you are Gentiles, carried away with divers. And I followed it down until it said, tongues. And when it said tongues, there was a quickening. I said, my God, this must be tongues. Never heard it in my life and didn't know about it. And when I said, this must be tongues, the scroll disappeared. Now, remember what I asked for. I asked God for the thing that Peter and John had. I didn't know the name of it. I just asked him for the thing that Peter and John said, silver and gold have I none, but the thing that I have I'm going to give you. And then in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. I asked him for this thing, and he gave me. At the seventh, I started talking in a different language, and he taught me that that was tongues. Okay. Well, brethren, the 14th, I was about to go to bed again, and there was a knock on the door. And somebody said, Brother Dussel, come quickly. Sister Barry is very ill. I rushed over there, and I saw Sister Barry ill. I lay hands on her. And the moment I lay hands on her, that thing that I was decided to hide because I didn't know what it really was, it came out of my mouth, and it started to command the devil to quit. I was shocked because I was saying something else in my mind, and this thing was coming out of my mouth. And it was so weird that I thought it was the people behind me doing it. So I stopped and turned around to them to say, can't you have a little respect? When I turned to them to say so, look, the thing came out of my mouth. And they were just cowering in fright. Praise be to God. So I learned then that that was the Holy Ghost. And you know, I never did understand what the difference was between John chapter 1 verse 12, that ye will receive power to become the sons of God. When you accept Jesus, you only receive power to become. But when you go on, you receive another power. And in the Greek, I understand, it's two different words. One is exousia, and the other is dunamis. Now, one sounds like dynamite to me, and it's exactly what God showed me, explosion. And this is the power that makes you witness. This is the power that makes you witness. Then I turned around and said to God, God, why do I need dunamis to witness? Why couldn't I witness with exousia, with the authority that you give me? And God began to tell me something that I'm sure you're going to say, this is a wild fellow. He showed me that the apostles, after he told them to tarry and receive power from on high, that he told them not to go out, but to witness first in Jerusalem. And I said, why, God, why? And he said, well, you see, Jerusalem is where you grow up, where you are born, where the devil that is ruling over that area has been ruling your lives from you were a child until you come into Christ. Therefore, you must overcome that devil before you overcome any other devil. And the devil that is around your area, that rules like the Prince of Persia, ruling one area, I suppose I'm talking to people who know that the devil divides up the kingdom in counties and in different states. Yes. I don't know. I don't think he goes by your state's boundaries. But I do know that he has a governing spirits over certain areas, and the people in certain areas act certain way and do certain things. And praise be to God, he said, in time you overcome that battle, and you go over to Judea and overcome the Judean devil, and you go over to Samaria and overcome the Samaritan devil, you are equipped to go into all the world. But in these three areas, three times, you overcome three of those devils, then you have a certificate to go into all the world and preach the gospel. So a lot of us are saying, as you get saved, run, boy, run, go and preach the gospel. And I see them falling down by the wayside. There are things out there that you can't cope with until you get power from on high. And not just power, but practice that power until God sends you to Samaria or to Judea. And when God sends you to Judea, make sure you go. Because that means you have already conquered the Jerusalem devil. And Jerusalem is where you live. Amen. And so, as my story went on, the next Sunday, I went into church. Now remember, I don't know what I have. I was only frightened now that this thing break out on me and the people here. And I'm ashamed. I feel now I'm working at this agricultural station, the accountant, and the people, you know, and the British are different from you, you know. they are different people. They don't believe in these sort of things. And they'll fire you out of a job because of this, you know. And so I didn't know what to expect, but I went down there now, and we were having service in this little office. And here Mrs. Berry pushes the door, and she comes in, she pushes a boy before her, and she said, "Here is the boy, sir. Heal him," she said. Now, I could go through the floor. If there was any way for me to get out of that little place, I'd have got out, because I was embarrassed, you know. And then she said, "Heal him." So I said, "My God, what will I do?" God says, "You are not going to heal him. I am." So I said, "Oh, all right. Since you're going to heal him, it's all right." So I lay hands on the boy and just pray a little prayer. And God says, "Tell him to speak." So I said, "Boy, speak." He didn't respond. So I said, "Say Jesus." God said to me, "Tell him what to say." I said, "Say Jesus." The boy turned around, looked me in the eye, and said, "Jesus." And man, people screamed. And some rush through the door, and all manner of things begin to happen. But the most astounding thing is that the boy did not have a tongue in his mouth. And when the boy talked, my unbelief told me that there was blood. All his mouth must have been full with blood now, because he must have torn that shape of the tongue down from his mouth, you know, and something must tear, something must give way for him to talk. When they opened his mouth, beautiful new tongue in his mouth, man, I was ashamed of myself, ashamed of my thoughts. Because imagine everybody saying, "Man, this man great, he did such a great thing." And I am there saying, I don't know who did it. And I went home and repented. You know, there's one good thing that you must always be honest with God. I went right home. I said, "God, you know I didn't do it. You know I didn't even believe." You see, I said, "I'm ashamed of my faith. I'm ashamed of myself. But I promise you, you tell me anything more, and I'm going to believe it." I said, "If you say to walk on my head, I'm going to walk on my head." And that thing made me That's what cemented me in preaching the Word of God. And no sooner had that boy talked than, of course, you know, people just start bringing the sick. And they all just start being healed. I don't know what's healing them, but now I believe. So they're being healed. And one woman was tied up with a rope. They tied her because she was violent. She was mad. And they brought her into the meeting, and they just put her down before me. And I said, "Loose her." And those men just took off. And I loosed her. And they stood out there with the car engine running, watching to see the joke when she exploded. Pulled her, looked into her eyes, and said, "Well, praise God, you're healed." Pray a little prayer with her. And she said, "Thank you very much." Walked out, picked up her rope, and went home. She's well to this day. And it went on like that every day, just going on for 10 years. Praise be to God. I wanted to get a tent. But I remember that the devil came to me once and promised me a tent. And he promised that he'd make me the greatest evangelist in the world. He said, I saw the tent and I saw people coming in and going out. And he said, "You'll be the greatest healer." And I said, "Well, that's funny. I was talking to the Lord, and the Lord never told me anything about that." You know. And I said, "But then you couldn't be the Lord." And he just disappeared. Hey man, you resist the devil and he flees from you. And so, praise God, it went on and on and on. And I could go on and on and on telling you stories of how we even got a dead man raised. We ran down into this place. We didn't know the man was dead. Somebody told us he was sick. But, you know, news traveled very slowly. They had no roads and things like that. And the person walked. We went down there, and we rushed into that room, and we lay hands on that man, and we commanded him to rise up. And we praised God and began to shout. And the man raised up and sit down in bed, looked around, realizing that he's still in the world. He asked for something to eat. He had been laying there for 5 days. And the doctor had given his death certificate. They were digging his grave. And he got up and lived. And praise be to God, I believe, brethren, that the time has come when God is bringing to himself a body. The body of Christ is coming together. And no more one man ministries to stalk through the land and do all these great miracles and everybody rush into one man. The body of Christ, you are this ministry and you are this people. And I pray God might bless you and help you to understand that it is absolutely necessary to be filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit of God. Now remember, when I asked for what Peter and John had, you heard what I got. And I believe I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I believe that's what happened to me. But God never did mention the word to me. Somebody else told me that was it. He never mentioned the word to me. He showed me everything else. He showed me speaking in tongues. He never said a word about being filled with the Spirit. But I got what Peter and John had. Praise be to God. We did even have the pleasure of seeing a girl in a motor car accident, and the whole hip bone was smashed and splintered. They took it out, left a big hollow in the hip, and the leg was completely dead. And then we went and prayed for her. The doctor said, "You're crazy." He said, if you walk, I'll serve God. Amen. But as I said before, the girl believed she could walk. And she believed if I prayed for her, she would walk. So she walked. We prayed for her, and that leg without any nerves, any life, and it came alive. She twisted it around and she started to walk. And she's walking with a big hole in her side, no bone at all in it. And she's walking up and down and doing her business. And so, this is the kind of thing that God does. May God bless you, and I trust my little testimony will bless you and help you to really move on in God. Because once you get saved, you should move on in the Spirit, and you should be obedient to the Holy Ghost. God bless you in Jesus' name.